like to inform everybody that this presentation represents a ongoing partnership between the National Environmental Education Foundation and the COMET program. And of course, the COMET program itself is a cooperative program that is sponsored by NOAA's National Weather Service and the Navy and Air Force Meteorological Services and the Meteorological Service of Canada. So a lot of leverage comes from these partnerships. In addition, though, for this particular activity that I'll be reporting on, there's a partnership between AMS with the Station Scientist Program, NEEF with their Earth Gauge program, and COMET working with NEEF to develop the Earth Gauge curriculum for the Station Scientist. And what you see here, of course, are the Station Scientist website, the NEEF website at Earth Gauge, and then also our broadcast meteorology website within MedEd that some of you saw on Friday. Beginning with the AMS Station Scientist program, hopefully many of you have been to this particular website. But I just want to point out a paper that Ron McPherson has on that site and highlight these two points. To get your CBM, you're required to participate in a program of continuing professional development, and it's strongly encouraged to have a broader understanding of science topics, especially those related to the environment. And so with that impetus,
science makes news, whether it's a raging chemical fire, an unmanned probe landing on Mars, or the belching of a volcano.
An event is brewing underneath Mount St. Helens.
When science makes news, get the edge on coverage using a resource you already have. Consider turning your meteorologist into your station scientist. When the next disaster hits, or even the unthinkable, will you be ready?
Well, from the chuckles, I guess some of you haven't seen that before, but that's on the Station Scientist website, and there's a lot of other resources, so you do need to check them out. But in that notion, will you be ready? What we want to promote is having a curriculum for you that has been designed in particular for your needs, and that is the basis of the Earth Gauge curriculum. And this curriculum ties in very closely with the Earth Gauge weekly tips that I'll get into a little bit more detail here. And fundamentally, it provides science-based education that relates weather to environmental issues. And we try also, as I'll show you, to give you story ideas and materials for developing those stories. Well, starting with the Earth Gauge program at NEEF. Hopefully most of you by now are very familiar with this, but just to reiterate it, Earth Gauge is a free program for broadcast meteorologists, and it provides environmental information tied to the three-day forecast that is sent out to participating station meteorologists tied to the three-day forecast in their area, in their media market. And it gives tips for use with their public on environmental connections to the weather events. And it stems from NEEF Roper research that was done that really showed that the public wasn't very knowledgeable about a lot of environmental issues. And just here's a couple of data points that came out of that that research. And it also is based on the recognition that broadcast meteorologists are the face of weather to the majority of the public. They're the venue for getting information about weather events through the TV broadcast. And many of you, of course, are also issuing broad forecasts through radio stations also that you work with. So you're uniquely positioned to get information out to the public. And with that, I'll just drop right down to the third bullet here. In these Earth Gauge tips that go out, there's easy viewer action tips that can be placed on the air. And then here more recently, in addition to the weather connection, there is also climate trend information that goes out with the Earth Gauge material. And just to show you that if you aren't already engaged with Earth Gauge, you're going to be in a lot of company because it's already out there reaching 191 million local television viewers. And these are the participating media markets that are receiving Earth Gauge materials. And Earth Gauge is being used in initiatives. NBC has Going Green on a lot of their network-owned stations. And here's one example of an Earth Gauge tip that has been incorporated in NBC's Going Green material. And Comet's role as part of all of this partnership is to provide professional development. And all of you who were on the tour on Friday, you've seen this already. Our MedEd site here is gives you resource to over 500 hours of online education and training materials. And like Earth Gauge, it's entirely free to you. And then in particular, we also have a broadcast meteorology community page that has links to the station scientist pages at the AMS. It also has some of our material that has been collected that we think will be of particular interest to yourselves. And it has links, as you'll see, to the Earth Gauge curriculum. So in developing this Earth Gauge curriculum, what we wanted to do was provide these three points. And I want to move on and actually get into material here. And this is where we'll see if the computer gods are with me. Watersheds was one of our first modules. And I see that we're at a different resolution here. But you click on the material in that from the, well, let me just go to this one and you'll see. When you click on the top level units, you go into one unit and it's broken into lessons. And then there's mediated
material. A watershed is not a small building you store water in. Actually, a watershed is an area of land from which all runoff drains or sheds to the same river, lake, or other body of water. The outlet of a watershed is its lowest point, typically within a stream channel, and often at a junction with a larger stream, river, lake, or bay.
When so everything is broken into chunks, and so when you take this course material, you don't have to sit down for 2 hours and go through all of it. You can take it in bits and pieces as you find time, and it's been designed with that. Also, these animations, as you'll see in a moment, and other graphics are made available to you. Moving on to our most recent one, because Watersheds has been out there as a published course now for almost a year. More recently, we released this module on weather, watersheds, and the built environment. And I'm going to reinitiate this to see if it comes out a little bit better in the No, didn't. But anyway, it has three units that deal with these areas where we live, impacts on the watershed, and I'll just go into this one.
Before we take a look at how our built environment has evolved, let's look at current growth patterns in the U.S. What are our current growth rates? Where have we traditionally set up our homes and businesses? Where has man's built environment had the greatest impact on the natural environment? What do you think? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, in 2006, the U.S. population was over 300 million. What is the projected population for 2040?
So one of the things that we did with this and all of our materials is there's a lot of built-in interactions for you to engage in. And when you pick a choice...
The answer is 400 million. The U.S. population is growing and changing rapidly. Our population has grown by leaps and bounds over the last century, from 76 million...
So one of the things that... in designing this, we're trying to convey this information to you in a story-like fashion, because you yourselves, when you present this information to the public, need to do it in the context of stories, on the air or through your station website or through your blog. So we're trying to get this information to you with that kind of modeled on how you can approach this topic with your public. I also want to point out that there's these areas called takeaways, and I'll get back to this in my next paper, talking about how you can develop your own materials. But this gives you access to the images that are used in the module, and also with the development of this particular watersheds course, and you'll see a sample of this in the next paper, we're also packaging the presentation material to be downloadable as iPod videos. So again, this will give multiple ways that this content can be used by yourself, as well as possibly incorporated in your own web page. One that's coming out here shortly is a course on weather and health, and we expect to publish that within the next couple of months. And in this one, I have to launch it. This is an example of some of the material in there.
True or false? UV radiation produces a sensation of warmth in the skin. The correct answer is false. Warming is caused by infrared radiation, not ultraviolet radiation. Sunburn is caused by UV radiation, which cannot be felt. America's most common cancer isn't of the breast, lungs, or prostate. It's skin cancer.
We can do that over again.
True or false? UV radiation produces a sensation of warmth in the skin. The correct answer is false. Warming is caused by infrared radiation, not ultraviolet radiation. Sunburn is caused by UV radiation, which cannot be felt. America's most common cancer isn't of the breast, lungs, or prostate. It's skin cancer. Every year, doctors diagnose more than 1 million new cases of...
And then this is on heat.
What is America's deadliest type of hazardous weather? Heat is the United States' most deadly weather-related killer. On average, over 1,500 people die in the U.S. each year from excessive heat, more than average deaths caused by hurricanes, lightning, tornadoes, and floods combined. Some studies estimate that the actual mortality for several vulnerable U.S.
And then, in addition to that course, Two more courses are in the works. One is on climate change, and another one is on ocean and coasts. Climate change hopefully will be published by the end of this year or early in 2009, and then we'll start developing oceans and coasts actually late this summer or early fall. And with that, I just wanted to point you again to this resource. This is the EarthGauge website. And this is the URL for the broadcast meteorology website that's part of MedEd. Are there any questions? Yes, Joe. At the end of this calendar year or early in 2009, we were waiting for the survey results that Chris Wilson conducted with the broadcast meteorology community. And here in July, we will be entering into a planning meeting to firm up the course objectives and the scope of the course based on the feedback we got from the broadcast meteorology community. And also the feedback that you've provided to Vicki Johnson here during this meeting, which has been very, very, very good for us. Any other questions? Yes. We will update some of this material as we go along on the websites. To develop these courses, we try to focus on material that's most stable. But you know, one of the challenges too with our funding organizations is to go back and update material, and we face that with some of our other stuff. And fortunately, with the web, you can easily amend material through the websites. Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you. I'll